We're going to start here at the bottom of Yud Gimel Mudbet, the last two words, Amar Abaye. We're continuing here with the sugyo about the type of clothing or certain things that can cause stimulation that would be problematic. And here Abaye says, Rochvei Gimalim, Asurim Lechol B'Truma. Those that are camel riders cannot eat truma. The underlying assumption being that camel riders ride bareback, and therefore the warmth of rubbing against the bare back of the camel while you're riding will cause problems of shichvat zera levatala, and therefore they shouldn't be eating bitruma, because in all likelihood they are tmeim. So tanya nami ochi, we have a braita that supports that position of Abaye, rochvei gmalim kulam rishayim, that those that are camelback riders are all rishayim, vaspanim kulam etzadikim, those that are sailors are all tzadikim, chamarim Mehen Rishayin, Mehen Tzadikim. When it comes to the donkey riders, some of them are Rishayim, some of them are Tzadikim. So why? Ikadamre, what's the distinction within Chamarim? So we understand in terms of Rochvei Gmalim, we already discussed that, and that's a bias statement, that Rochvei Gmalim Rishayim, because of this fact that they ride bareback. Spanim, we know that the sailors from the Gemara and Kiddushin talks about how they are somech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Rashi says, shadarim b'sakana, they live in danger, but libam l'avim b'shamayim, and they know they're totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why Kisrim Tzadikim. But the Chamarim, we don't understand the distinction so far. So the Gemara gives two distinctions. Igadamre adimikav adlomikav. Difference between them is whether he rides with a saddle or without a saddle. Meaning that if you ride a chamor, bareback, then you're the same as the Rochvei Gmalim. You ride it with a saddle, which is harder and will not cause that type of stimulation, then it's fine. Vikadame, and some say the distinction is ha de mitartin, ha de lo mitartin. Question of how you ride. Do you ride side saddle, which would not have this problem? Or do you ride in the regular manner, which would be as you see in the Masorah Tashas, he brings down Kamomo's Naim, like a scale, where it's split to two sides. So over there, you will have the problem of stimulation, whereas if you ride side saddle, like a woman, you would not have that problem. So that's the distinction they draw within the Chamarim. Tosvot mentions that when it comes to the Gemara and Kiddushin, which we mentioned before, it says that the Tzfanim are all Tzadikim, and the Rochvei Gmalim are Ksherim, and the Chamarim are Ruban Lisdin. It seems to not accord with what we're seeing over here. We were saying the Rochvei Gmalim are Rishayim, and then over there it says that the Ruban Ksherim. So the difference, he says, is between riders and movers. So he says, the Halchamayi B'Rochvim. Here we're talking about riders. Mushum Hirhor. So Hirhor is a problem with the camels, because you ride bareback, and with the Chamarim, depends how you ride. The Hotam, over there in the Gemara Kiddushin, it's not talking about people who are riding the actual animals. Eben Nodim Schoral Gmalim. They're movers, they're schleppers. So there, they go by foot, and the animals are carrying the loads. So then, the only determining factor is how much danger you were in. The Tzfanim and the Gmalim, who do long distance travel, they are considered to be more Tzadikim, more Ksherim, because they are in more danger. Therefore, they turn Libam L'Shamayim. They do the short haul. They don't feel it, again, that sakana, and do not turn themselves to Hashem. Plus, then they, they're not even so honest in their business dealings on the short haul.
That's characteristic. Why is cheating business dealing characteristic?
It seems to seem that there was some correlation, because they don't have that Yiret HaShemayim, so therefore it affects everything. Since they don't have that sakana that brings them or turns them towards Hashem, therefore their whole world is something where they don't consider Hashem to be important. People only cheat when they don't think that it's in the hands of Hashem. So then Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Layit Aman Degani Apirkid. He used to curse out someone who used to sleep Apirkid. Now Apirkid is a machloket Rishonim, exactly what it means. Rashi interprets a pirkid like he does everywhere else over here, but not the mala that he is facing up. And the reason is gnudu shepamim itkasha iver toch sheni nato, because maybe he'll become erect during his sleep, itgale, and he'll be exposed. Va'od shiadav munachot lo al avirav v'mitchamim. Also, his hands will be resting on top of him. That also might cause some form of stimulation. So Rashi says it means flat on your back, looking upward. The Gemara in Baba Batra, which talks about the stories of Rabbi Barbachano, when he went out with a tayo, with his Arab merchant, to go out to the Midbar, and he shows them the Meitei Midbar. And over there it says that they were lying, Pirkid, And they were able to pass under their knee. They were so tall, they were so big, that they were able to ride straight under their knee, which would be indicative of what Rashi is saying here, that they were laying on their backs. The Aruch, on the other hand, says, Apirkid is Apui Kid. It's a conjugation of Apui Kid, meaning your face. Kid is bound down. Face into the pillow, face down into the ground. And therefore, all the Rishonim passed because of that inconclusive understanding of Apirkid is that one may not lie both face down, as well as on their back, face up. So either one of those is inappropriate for sleeping. And then the Gemara says, Vini, Va'amar Rav Yosef, Pirkadan lo yikra Kriyat Shema. If you're in one of those positions, you shouldn't read Kriyat Shema. The implications would be Kriyat Shema hu lo yikra. It's inappropriate for reading Kriyat Shema. Ha, Megana Shapir Dami. But sleeping that way wouldn't be a problem. Why are you talking about Kriyat Shema if you can't even sleep that way? Saying that you can't say Kriyat Shema in that position indicates that that's the only problem. The laying in that position is not a problem. The Gemara says, no. Linyon Megano. When it comes to sleeping, ki matzli shapir dami. If you tilt yourself a little bit to the side, you're fine. The grand kriyat shema ki matzli asur. When it comes to saying kriyat shema, tilting yourself to the side is not enough. One must turn completely on their side in order to read kriyat shema in that position. Vaha Rabbi Yochanan matzli vikari kriyat shema. What about we have maaseh ha-chacham? Rabbi Yochanan used to just turn a little bit towards his side and read kriyat shema. He didn't turn fully on his side. It says, Shani Rabbi Yochanan de Babasar Avo. Rabbi Yochanan was a large man. He was a man of heft. And therefore he couldn't physically turn himself on his side. Since he couldn't physically turn himself on his side, therefore he just tilted himself over. By tilting himself over, that was sufficient to read the Kriyat Shema. Tosafot over here mentions that when Rashi says over here that we curse the one who lies a pirkid, Rashi says the problem is because he might be mitkale, it might be that he comes into contact, his hands are moving around. Tosafot says that the Rashbam perish, shbegadav noflim alamato mitchamein. Problem is that his pajamas will rub up against his aver, and that will cause some form of stimulation. And then the Gilyon brings over there, Va'od, Shamati Shishuchev HaPirkid Mitchamei Mashidra. It's an interesting thing. He says that the spinal cord warms up. Oh, Machmad Zayit Kasha Aver Be'avoli Dekeri. Somehow that will cause an erection and bring the Shechva Zer Levatala. It's an interesting biological explanation here, that there's some sort of warming of the back has an impact over here. It's clear that the problem is that one who is in these positions has a higher likelihood of coming to Shikvat Zer Levatala. Therefore, we dissuade people from sleeping in that manner. And the proper way to sleep is on one side. And when it comes to Kriyat Shema, over here we said that you can't tilt on your side a little bit. If you go fully onto your side, you can read it. And that's what Tosafot says, Aval Atzido Legamrei Shari. If you go totally onto your side, it's mutar to read Kriyat Shema. Most of the Rishonim believe that it's true, that if you go fully on your side, you can read Kriyat Shema. The Tamidei Rabbeinu Yonah and the Gemara Brachot seem to indicate that that's not a preferable way to do it. That's a bidi'evit. Only bidi'evit can you do it, that chatchila you should not read Kriyat Shema that way. And therefore, the halacha is brought down. The Mishnah Brura says, even though Rov of the Rishonim and Achronim say it's fine to do it on your side, we're choshesh for the Tamidei Rabbeinu Yonah, and if you are saying Kriyat Shema, we're going to ask you to sit up or to stand up, whatever it is, and not lie on your side when you're saying Kriyat Shema. Now, he does qualify the statement. That's in, I think, Pei Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch. Whereas, if you go to Kriyat Shema Lamita at the end of Chelek Bet in the Mishnah Berurah, over there he distinguishes between Kriyat Shema Lamita and Kriyat Shema to be Yotze. The Kriyat Shema to be Yotze, he says, for sure, the Chatzchila, you should get up. He says, by Kriyat Shema Lamita, that maybe over there we'll be less stringent about it, especially if a person's already undressed, they got into bed, it's difficult, they have to get dressed again if they got out of bed. Although he still encourages people to sit up and say it if they can, but over there he's willing to be more lenient than he is by when it's Kriyat Shema for the mitzvah, v'shach b'chov kumecha. Over there he says, we're choshesh for this sheet of the Tamina Beriona, indicating that we should get up and not lie on your side unless there are circumstances b'di'evid where a person cannot do that and you're yotze if you do it that way. Rashi says in Brachot that there is a distinction between the reason why by sleeping, which we said clearly here, why the context of the sugi here, why it's problematic to be on your back, on your face. But Kriyat Shema, the reasoning is different, which is that it's not kavod klapei shemayo, it has to be mikabel o machut shemayim, or you're laying there flat on your back looking up. It's not a proper position to be in order to have kabbalat o machut shemayim. And therefore on the side, we say that that's okay, Again, but it may not be the best way to do it, and that's why we encourage you to sit up or to stand up. Okay, next Mishnah, Derech Benot Yisrael, Mishamshot B'Shnei Edim. The Derech of Benot Yisrael is that they have intercourse, they have two Edim, two cloths. Echad lo v'echad la, one for him and one for her. We're talking about one for him, one for her, we're talking about after the Biyah. At Snuot, those that are more careful, Metaknot Shlishi, they have a third cloth, the Takenet Abayit, to check beforehand. Nimsa Shalo, if they find damim on his cloth, tmeim, first of all they're tamei, v'chayavim karban, and chayav a korban chatat. Because the only way there could be damim on his aid is if, while or during intercourse, she was pirsa nida, she became nida. And therefore they were boel nida. Now boel nida has two implications that we've just spoken about before. One implication of boel nida is that you are tamei. Because a bo nida has the same status as a nida herself in terms of tumat shiva. So that's tmeyin. They're both tamei. Both the woman and the man are tamei. She's tamei because she's a nida. He's tamei because he's a bo nida. The other implications are that a bo nida also has a problem from din arayot. And therefore they have to bring a korban chatat because he was boel nida. So those are the implications here of finding damim on the aid of the man is that tmeim and chayavim karban. Nimtza shela. If we find damim on her cloth, then depends when we find it. Otiom. Otiom is a Greek word that means immediately. If we find it immediately, tmeim and chayavim karban, then the same din applies, which is that they are both tmeim, boel nida, and chayavim karban chatat. Nimtza al shela la achar zman. On the other hand, if we find it on her cloth after a certain duration, tmein misafek. Now we're into the world of safek, because we don't know if she was pirsa nida while the intercourse was taking place, or only afterwards. Upturim mina karban. And the patur mina karban, because now we're in the world of safek. Ezehu achar zman. How much time is considered achar zman? Kedei sheterid min hamita v'tadiach panel. Enough time that she can come off the bed and clean up or rinse off down below. And then after that point in time, mitama me'id le'it. Then she has a regular din of nida that retroactively she's tme'a me'id le'it. Ve'enu mitama et bola. She doesn't affect her husband because he was not boel nida. Kiva omer, af mitama et bola. Kiva believes that even the boel here is in a problematic position. And modim chachamim rabbi kiva bo'e ketem. If she does see a stain, that she is mitameh bola, because we assume that she was already a nida the time of the biyah, and we look retroactively and say that the boel is impacted by her fact that she is a nida. So just to keep in mind here, we have three time periods, because it's going to become important in the Gemara later on, which is that you have immediately, you have a little bit afterwards, and then you have a long time afterwards. So those are the three times when you find some sort of damim on her aid, on her cloth. And then his cloth is totally separate over there. There's really no room or maneuverability because once it's found on his, the blood had to come from her, and therefore we assume he was boel nida. Where it says, "Binichush dilma dama cholatu." Let us suspect over here that maybe it is a damo cholat. It's the blood of a louse. This is asking a question about all these cases where we're giving a definitive answer. So for instance, by the Baal, or the husband has a check on his cloth and he sees damim. Why are we assuming that damim definitely came from the woman? And pirsa nida, why don't we assume it came from a louse? And that would put you at least in the world of safek, not in the world of vadai. And even in the case of the woman as well, when she finds damim on her cloth immediately, why don't we choshesh for this issue of macholet? So that's the question of the Gemara, which is, you're dealing in a world of vadai, when I can bring in a possibility of it being something else, which is that a louse was smushed on the cloth, and that's where the blood came from. Amar Rabbi Zera, Oto makom makom baduku etzo macholet. Internally in the woman, there is no chance that there is a louse inside of her. So therefore, if the damim came from intercourse, and the man has damim on him, there's no way that the damim came from a macholet, because he was internal to the woman. It's internal to the woman, they don't live there. You can't find lice inside of the woman. Others say, not that they do not exist there at all, but rather, it's too tight in there for a louse to get in there. And as Tosafot says, don't explain, it's not that they can get in there in difficulty, that's not true at all. It's the same din, which is that they can't get in there. What does that mean? Can't get in by itself at all. In both cases, the macholot, the louse, can't get in there. Either because it's not an environment that is friendly to lice, and therefore they don't exist in there, or the area is just too tight. They can't reach, they can't get up to the makor. It's not because it's not hospitable to them, but rather it's just impossible for them to get through. My nafkamino. What's the difference between these? My binayu, yik binayu. Tishtakach macholot v'tzupa. That we found a crushed, a smushed louse. Lach nishna damar baduku. If we're talking about going to Lashon, that it's, that area is inhospitable to lice. Hama'omahatai. It's clear that this louse came from somewhere else. And it didn't come from internally in the woman. And the blood that we're seeing now was definitely not from this louse, but from the biyan. Lach nishna damar dachuku. According to one who says that the lice can't get in there because it's too narrow, there's a possibility that they were forced in there or pressured in there by the Eiver, and they were smushed in that process. So there is a possibility that the damim that are here are from the damim of the louse, and they came from internally, and that would explain the blood that we have here, and therefore you would say that it is a safek. So the difference between them is whether there is even a possibility that this louse would have any meaning in terms of making this into a safek rather than a vadai. Now, itmar badka be'ed habaduk la. She checks with a cloth that was checked. V'tachato b'recha. And afterwards, she leaves it on her thigh. U'lumachar matzah le'adam. Next morning, she wakes up, and there's blood on it. Amarav t'me'a nida. There's no question here that she is clearly t'me'a nida. So the couple parts of this scenario over here. Number one is the cloth, when she places on her thigh, it's in a position or a place where even if she had menstruated afterwards, it would not affect the cloth. It's far enough down her thigh where even if she menstruated, the damim wouldn't come from her makor to that cloth. The only way there could be damim on this cloth is because it came from internally. So we know that the cloth was completely clean beforehand. So now if it's clean beforehand and she does a check, puts it on her thigh, wakes up in the morning and there's damim on it, where else did the damim come from? There's only one place the damim could have come from the check. If it came from the check, then she is vadai, tmeya nidan, that's what Rav says. According to Rashi, the damim was found on her thigh. She has dam on her thigh, and it's away from the place where she could have menstruated. And we say that, how did the damim get there? Because the cloth that she checked with had damim on it, and it was on her leg. That's what it says, why don't you just check the cloth and see if it had damim on it? It says because the cloth is lost. The cloth was lost after she had a check. She had a clean cloth, did a check, left it on her thigh, wakes up in the morning, there's damim on her thigh, the cloth is gone. So in that case, we assume that it came from her. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Hananel says no, that the damim was not found on her thigh, but that the damim was found on the aid, like we explained before, it was found on the cloth itself. And the reason that we have to have a psak here, of course, if you see damim on the aid, where else did it come from? The answer is that it was exposed. It was left on her leg. Since it was left on her leg, there was a possibility of damim coming from the outside. So those are the two scenarios, case where we have an aid baduk. So Amar Le Rav Simi Bar Chiya V'Hachus Sheshet Amartlan. So didn't you tell us that we are only Choshesh that she's in Inazan? If Adai, it's a Safek. See, my name is Amar Shmuel, Tmei Anida. But we also have a statement from Shmuel that it's completely Tmei Anida. V'chein Morim Ben Midrash, Tmei Anida. So we have statements from Rav, Shmuel, and the Beit Medrash that over here she's a Vadai Nida, despite the fact that Rav Simi Bar Chiya mentions that Rav originally had only said Chosheshet. Nevertheless, we see that there are numerous Amorayim that are telling us that she's Tmei'a Nida, and that is the Olocha. Now, Idmar. Next scenario is Badka Be'ed She'eno Badukla. She checks with a cloth that was not checked. V'niyachato Be'kufsa. And then she places it into a box. U'numachar Matzah Le'adam. And the next day, she finds dam on it. So now we have an issue. Number one is, the aid was not checked. Now, in terms of the aid not being checked, it probably was not checked yesterday or the day before, but it had to be checked at some point. There has to be some point along the way where she did check it. It's just that there's been duration since she checked the cloth, and therefore there's time passed before she utilized it. There was at least a 24 or 48 hours where she hasn't checked it. So we're uncertain as to what the status of the cloth is. The only thing we do know is that after she used it, she put it into a kufsa. She put it into a box. The reason for that is, as Rashi points out, is if you don't say that, then you run into even more problems, or it's really less problems, because if she didn't check it beforehand, and then afterwards throws it on her thigh, then we have what we call a sveik sveika. You have a safek whether the cloth was clean before she started. The blood could have come to the outside. And then even after she does the check, since she did not isolate the cloth after she did the check, you have a second safek, which is a safek of whether after she put it on her thigh that the damim came there from the outside. So you have what you call a sfeik sfeika, and there we're going to go to kula. So the reason for having to place it in the box afterwards is so that there is no sfeik sfeika here. It's so that there's only one safek, whether the cloth was clean or not beforehand. But afterwards, we know that there's no way that damim got onto it because she isolated it, she put it into a box afterwards. So that's the reason for the scenario like that. So now this is different than the previous scenario. The previous scenario, we had a cloth that was baduk, and we have it left on her thigh. But over here, we have an aid she'ena baduka. So now the safek that we're dealing with is, was the aid clean beforehand? Or was the aid have damim on it beforehand? Afterwards, it was placed into kufsa, so there we have no safek. So Amar of Yosef, kol yomav shel b'chiya, timei. All of his life, Rabbi Chiya said that it's Tamei Nida. Ule'ed Zignato Tiher. When he got older, he was Mitaheret Ibailuhu. Heichi Kamar. What does he mean over here? Kol Yomav Tamei Mishum Nida. All of his lifetime, he was Mitamei Nida, meaning full-fledged Tumah. Ule'ed Zignato Tiher Mishum Nida, Mitamei Mishum Keten. That he had, when he got older, he may have said it was Tahor because it didn't Nida, Vadai Nida. But it was a fake, like a Keten. Odilma. Koyam abti maybe shum ketem all his life said that she was tmeya because of ketem. Eid zignato tier mivlo klum. And when he got older, he said tawa the gamre. So tashma. Let's see from this brighter, the Tanya, we have a brighter that says but kabe eid shena badukla checks with a cloth that is not checked. Vinyachto bekusta places in a box afterwards. Ulechar matzah lavdam. Then he finds blood on it afterwards. So exactly our scenario. We say here Rabbi Omer tmeya mishum nida. She's tmeya because of nida, full-fledged tuma. Rabbi Chiya Amar, tmeya mishum ketem. She's only tmeya mishum ketem. So here you have Rabbi Chiya's position that tmeya mishum ketem. The only thing is, we don't know when this is in his lifetime. If it's early in his lifetime, then that would indicate us that when he said tamei, in early in his life, he meant only ketem. That means when he got older, he meant Torah legamre. If this was said later on in his life, then we know that tamei that he said earlier in his lifetime meant tamei nida. And then, when he said tahor later on, it meant tahor, not nida, but still tmeya miketem. So how do we know when it was in his lifetime? Because of the conversation that takes place in the bright. Amar lo Rabbi Chiya. Chiya says to Rabbi, iata modesh tzricha kegris va'od. Don't you agree with me that you have to add at least the size of a kegris or greater on it to take it out of the world of macholet? So we know that it's not a louse. Amalei aval amar lo imkein avatasito ketem. He says, if you do that, then you make it into a ketem. If the reason that you need this stain to be greater than the size of the grease is because we're suspecting that the damim could have come from a louse and not from the nida. So if that's the case, that you're demanding that the damim be that big, or the stain be that big, it means that you are besafek. You don't think that it's vadai nida. You think it's vadai nida. Nida is mitama betipa. So the fact that you're demanding a minimum shiur, it says that we're in the world of safek and not in the world of vadai. So that's Rabbi Chiya's statement to Rabbi. Rabbi responds, Rabbi Sabar be'inan kegris ba'od. Yes, you need kegris ba'od. Afuke midam macholot, to take it out of the world of a louse. Became the nafak law, midam macholot. As soon as you take it out of the world of a louse, vadai migufa'ata. The only choice left is that it came from her body. If it came from her body, then she's a vadai nida. So yes, there is that safek, but once we've left the world of safek, we enter into the world of nida, we don't remain in the world of safek. Now, how do we know from this when Rabbi Chiya made this statement to Rabbi? So Gemara says, my lab is ziknutokoi. Where is it? Bright is talking about when he was older. Ha, bi'adoto, timei mishum nida, shma mino. So if we indicate that this Bright is talking about when he was older, that means that he's saying that it's tamei tumat ketem even later on in his life. Which means earlier on in his life, when Ruchia, before he changed his mind, he meant that he held like Rebbe. That is, she was Tmeya B'gamrei, Tmeyat Nida. And that'll answer our question that Rav Yosef says, early in his life, Rav Chia said she was Tamei, Tumat Nida, meaning Tumat Nida B'gamrei. And then, later on in his life, when he had Tahor, it was not Tahor B'gamrei, but Tahor mi Tumat Nida, in the world of Safek Tuma. How does the Gemara know that this whole Braita took place when Rav Chia was older? Rashi suggests, because he's arguing on his Rebbe. Rebbe is Rabbi Chiya's Rebbe, and therefore only later on in his life would he be willing to argue on his Rebbe, because he'd be a Talmud Chover at that time, And therefore, if he's arguing with his Rebbe, it's an indication that he's already older. Tosafot rejects that and says, we find all over Shas that Talmidim ask questions of their Rebbe, that they challenge their Rebbe. Says, that's not a good indication. Says, rather, the indication is the way he speaks or addresses Rebbe. Says, Amalei Rabbi Chia, Iata Modeh. The way he addresses Rebbe is in the second person. He's saying, Ata. The fact that he speaks to him in second person is an indication of Talmid Chover that Ziknuto. If he was a Talmid at the beginning of his career and the beginning of his life, he would have addressed Rebbe in the third person. The fact that he doesn't is indicative of the fact that it must be that this is the eighth Ziknato. So that's the reason that we know that it's eighth Ziknato, and therefore we have a conclusion here that Reb Chia believed that it was only Tumat Ketem later on in his life, whereas Rabbi still thinks, and that's probably where Reb Chia got it earlier in his life, that she has a din of Tumat Nida, in this case of a cloth that was not checked, on which we find Damim. Again, the Damim has to be bigger than a Kagris, has to be larger than the size of a bean, because we need to get it out of the world of a louse. Once you're out of the world of a louse, or the possibility that it's a louse, once you've done that, according to Reb Chia, you're in the world of Safek Tumah. According to Rabbi, you're in the world of Vadai Tumah. Then we're choshesh that it's a louse. And then we could either told that and say that you have a sfeik sfeika now, because we don't know if the dam was on there beforehand or afterwards, and even if it was afterwards, it could have been a machgolet. Then you're in the world of sfeik sfeika, where it would be mekil. So now we have a story. Mishtabach lei Rabbi, the Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi was speaking to Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi about Rabbi Chama bar Bisa. He said that Rabbi Chama bar Bisa adam godolhu. It's a great man. Samarlo, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi, kishiyavola adcha, when Rabbi Chama bar Bisa shows up in town, bring him to me. Kiato, when he did, he came to town, and Rabbi brought Rabbi Chama bar Bisa before Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi, lay by me nine milta. Ask me a question. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Chama bar Bisa, pose me a question. So Bamine Badka Ba'e Jaina Badukla, our question, our scenario over here. She checked with a cloth that was not checked. V'nichato b'kufsa, and she places it into a box afterwards. L'mechar matzah la'ab dam, and afterwards she finds dam. Mahu, what's the din? So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi responds to him, Amalo, k'divrei Abba imelecha, o k'divrei Rabbi imelecha. How do you want the response? You want the response of my father, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi? So he's saying, I'll give you Rabbi Yossi as the answer. Or do you want to hear what Rabbi said about it? Amalei k'divrei Rabbi. Rabbi Chama bar Bisa says, let me hear what Rabbi has to say, Emily. I'm Rabbi Shmuel, Zil Shomim, Alav Adad, Adam Gadol. Shmuel says, this Rabbi Chama bar Bisa, this is the guy that Rabbi was praising as being an Adam Gadol. Heyach minim dichim divrei Rabbi, Shomim divrei HaTalmid. How is it that he's willing to hear what the Talmid says and not what the Rabbi says? The indications here, or the implications here, are that Rabbi Yossi was the Rabbi of Rabbi. Rabbi is the Talmid of Rabbi Yossi. And here, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi is offering Rabbi Chama bar Bisa here the halacha according to Rabbi Yossi or halacha according to Rabbi. Says, I don't understand. He responds and says, I want Rabbi's halacha. Why would he want that? He should ask for Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi's Rebbe. You'd get go back to the source. Why doesn't he ask for that? Rabbi Chama bar Bisa savar Rabbi Reish Metiftohu. Rabbi was the Nasi. He was the head of the Beis Medrash. Ushchik Rabbanon Kamei. And since he was the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rabban were always there. And therefore his memrot had been cleansed and checked over. The interaction with the Talmidim brings him to a point where his memrot are more valuable, even though he's the Talmud. So Sofot over here speaks about the fact that we have other instances in Shas where it doesn't seem that Rabbi Yossi is the Rebbe of Rabbi. And therefore Sofot says that there was a transition over time. Originally, Rabbi learned by Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi was the Rebbe, and Rabbi was the Talmid. Later on, as Rabbi rose to be the Nasi and the head of the Beit Midrash, because of the statement of Rabbi Chama bar Bisa over here, that we know that, therefore, Mechadadin Shmatate, that Rabbi was Hofech Liot, almost like the Rebbe of Rabbi Yossi at that point in time. That after they changed positions, either became a Talmud Chober, or it seems to be that Rabbi Yossi was Kafuf to Rabbi at that point in time. Not because of Nisiyut, but because of his Torah, and because of what Rabbi Chama bar Bisa says over here. So my Rabbi, or my Rabbi Yossi? Okay, now that was a nice story, but what is the position of Rabbi, and what is this position of Rabbi Yossi? I'm Rav Adar bar Matna, Tana Rabbi mitamei, Rabbi Yossi mitayer. Same machlok that we had between Rabbi and Rabbi Chia, and now we have this machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi. V'amai Rabbi Zera kishitamei Rabbi, Rabbi's mitamei is like Rabbi Meir. Shitir Rabbi Yossi, latzmotir. And Rabbi Yossi's mitayer, it's l'shitato. So Rabbi is holding like Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi is holding like his own Shita. In what? The Tanya. We have a bright that's really a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. Haisha shaita usat zerachel, brata dam. A woman who is urinating, and sees blood while she's urinating. Rabbi Meir Omer, Imo Medet, if she's standing when she's urinating, Tameya, then she's definitely Tamei. Im Yoshevet, if she's sitting down, Tehora, she's fine, she's clean. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Benkach, Ubenkach Tehora, no matter what, she is considered or classified to be Tehora. So over here, we have what's called a Safek. We have a woman who's urinating and seeing blood. There are two possibilities of where that dam came from. One possibility is that the dam came from the urinary tract, because there's some sort of injury or infection in the urinary tract, and therefore she's passing blood because there's a problem in the urinary tract. The other possibility is that the dam from the mikor, the urine blood, is mixing in with the urine, and she's discharging the urine blood along with the urine. So those are the two possibilities about how this blood came out over here. So we have a safek. Rabbi Meir distinguishes between whether the woman is standing or sitting down. If she's sitting down, that is a normal position for urinating. If she's in the normal position of urinating, there is no pressure in that area, and therefore we're going to assume if any damim came out, it came from the urinary tract. On the other hand, and again, I don't know how to explain this totally biologically, if she's standing up when she urinates, there's pressure in the urination because it's not the natural stance. That causes the urine to flush out the mikor, flush out, I don't know if it's the vaginal canal or the uterus, and that will bring out the damim. And therefore, Meir says, im omedet, tmeya. If she's standing, we assume that the blood came from the uterus. Now, there is still a safek. There are two possibilities. It came from the urinary tract or the uterus. Nevertheless, Meir says she's tmeya, and we assume it came from the uterus. Then she'll shev it, where there isn't that suspicion that it came from the uterus, then she's Torah. Rabbi Yossi says, no matter what, she's Torah. So the difference between them is basically when you're faced with the scenario of safek. I have a scenario of safek. One possibility is that it's urine blood, which would make her tzmeya. The possibility is the blood came from something else. Now, the high likelihood is that the damim came from the uterus. There's more likelihood that the damim, when you see it with the urine, it came from the uterus. But there is a small likelihood that it comes from the urinary tract. In that scenario, what do I do? Rabbi Meir says, if I have that type of safek, tzmeya. Rabbi Yossi says, in that type of safek, tahor. So the Gemara is saying that that lines up with the positions here of Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, or Rabbi and Rabbi Chia, the same thing. Rabbi, who says over here, when she has a cloth that was not baduk, she checks, puts it into kufsa, finds dam in it afterwards. What's the two possibilities that damim came out of this cloth? One possibility is that she checked, and it was urine blood, and she checked herself, but she had damim. She's tmeya. The other possibility is it came from the outside, because it wasn't checked, it came from the outside. What's the higher likelihood? The higher likelihood is that when she checked, that's where the blood came from. So Rabbi says in that case, tmeya, similar to Rabbi Meir in the case of the urine. Because over there we have a safek which is weighted towards it being a menstrual cycle or menstrual blood, then we say that she's tmeya. Rabbi Yossi, the Shita To, says in both those cases, if there is a safek, she is tehora. Now how tahor she is interesting. Tosafot over here brings down two opinions. That one opinion is that nira the gamri mitayar, Rabbi Yossi's mitayar, full, you know, lock, stock, and barrel is mitayar, that there's no tumah here whatsoever. Although he brings from the Beinu Chananel that Rabbi Yossi, in the case of the urine, says that she is tmeya misafek, that she has a din of ketem, she's just not tmeya tumat nida. So when he says tahor over here, means tahor mi tumat nida. The two possibilities of what Rabbi Yossi means about tahor over here. Nevertheless, the positions align in terms of when you have a weighted safek. Salam alei Rabbi Acha b'rei de Rabbi Ravashi, v'amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, kishi tmei Rabbi Meir, lo tmeya mishum ketem. This is going to undermine our whole position over here, that when Rabbi Meir spoke in Tumah from the case of urine, he says, Tumah is Tumah Mishum Ketem, which means Tumah Safek, not Tumah Vadai. And we're over here suggesting that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi have the same position. Vilu Rabbi Mishum Nida Kamar. When Rabbi says she's Tumah, it's Tumah Tumah Nida, which is Tumah Vadai. Amalei, Anan Hachi Kamrina, and this is what I meant, Ki Itmar Hayi Mishum Nida Itmar. Says that quote from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is incorrect. The way that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says, "Kitimei Rabbi Meir, lo timei mishum nida." That's what he said, and that aligns with Rabbi's position. So that's a misquote from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Meir was mitamei later on in the Masechta. He's mitamei by the case of urine tumat nida, like Rabbi over here, and therefore the positions align when we're dealing with a safek that is weighted towards the side of tumah. Okay, now nitzal shila utyom tmeim. It's found on her cloth immediately, then they are tmeim. Tanabanan, Ezuhu Shir Veset. This is a Gemara that we had back on Daf Yudbet. What is classified as a Shir Veset? I mean, the amount of time that would implicate her in terms of being a Nida while the Bia went on. Mashal l'shamash ve'ed. Case of the aver and the cloth, shomdim b'tzad ha-mashkof, that are right by the woman's erva. Tziyat ha-shamash, when the aver comes out, nechnas ha'ed, the cloth goes in to check. Haviveset sh'amro l'kinuach, havalo b'dika. That type of check would implicate the two of them as being bo'el nida. That's only if she does a wiping, a quick wiping. If she does an internal bidika, an internal check, that's too much time already. Now, nimtzal shalala charzman. Find it on her cloth after time. Tana, v'chayavim hasham taloi. Your chayav and hasham taloi. V'tana didan. Our Tana says if it's acharzman, that she's patur mi karban the gamre, or he's patur mi karban the gamre. My time, huh? Be'inan chaticha mishtei chatichot. This is something we learned back in Mi'ila, that the question of Hasham Taloi is a question of what has to be the scenario. So Machloket in Eim L'Misoret and Eim L'Mikra, how you read the Pasuk, because it says, Hasham Taloi achat mikol mitzvot Hashem. You did one, you violated one of the mitzvot Hashem. So over there, the Kri and the Ketiv are different. The Kri is mitzvot in the plural, whereas the Kri, the way it's written, is mitzvot. So where do we say whether it's mitzvot would mean one, mitzvot would mean two. And the machloket in the Gemara over there we saw Mi'ila is whether mitzvot means you have to have a choice of two items. You have Isser and Heter in front of you, and you pick, we don't know which one you picked. There you bring an Hasham Taloi. Or even in a case where you have a Safek on a single item. The item you eat, you don't know if it's Asur or Mutar, do you bring an Hasham Taloi? So machloket between the Braita and our Mishnah is exactly that fact. Do you bring an Hasham Taloi in this case where she checks after time? Because you have a safek here. If there's time, there's been elapsed time. So we're not certain that she was bo'el nida. There's only one safek here. Is this woman a nida or not a nida? So the isur, there's only one chatichat isur. One chatichat isur, do you bring an Hasham Taloi? Our Tana says no. You need two chatichut. One of isur, one of heter, and that doesn't happen here. So no korban at all. The Tana of the Baraita says, even in a case where you have one safek, a single chatichat isur, you bring an Hasham Taloi, and that's why he says you bring an Hasham Taloi. Now we said, Ezu achar zman, what's considered to be after time? Very many, Sa'ril and Chuba, Ezu achar zman, what's considered to be achar zman, perish Rabbi Eliezer bi Rabbi Tzadok, or Rabbi Elazar bi Rabbi Tzadok, kadei she toshit yada tachar akar, enough time that she can extend her hand under her pillow, o tachar akeset, or under the mattress, vitito aid, and take an aid, vitiv dokbo, and check with it. So now we have a problem. Our Mishnah says what is considered to be achar zman. Achar zman is when she has enough time to descend from the bed and check herself and clean herself up. And over here we're giving the shiur as being the amount of time that she has to grab the cloth from under the mattress or the pillow and check herself on the bed itself. So Amar Rav Chisda, my achar. What does it mean, achar zman? And our Mishnah means achar de achar. Who? After, after. Again, that there'll be three periods of time. And that's what we said before, that there are actually three stages. There's a stage of immediately, there's a stage of afterwards, and there's a stage of after afterwards. Those are the three scenarios that we spoke about in the Mishnah. So what Rav Chisda is suggesting over here is the Braita that we just brought is describing the time period of after. Our Mishnah is describing the time period of after afterwards. It says, how can you say that? Vaktoni Allah. It says in our Mishnah describing that Nibzal Shalala Achar Zman. It says clearly that it's talking about after, not after afterwards, it's talking about after. T'mayim misafik v'turim min ha-korban. So ezu achar zman, kadei sh'tered min ha-mita v'tadiach bana. And then what is considered to be achar zman? And here it is, it's laid out, straight out. Tzachi gamar. So read it this way. Ezu achar zman, kadei sh'toshit yada l'takar akar l'takar akesev, v'tzol eid v'tivdok bo.
And then the Mishnah continues with its next statement, which is the next period of time.
Kadei sh'tered min ha-mita v'tadiach bana. Machloket Rabbi Akiva v'chachamim. Where it says, v'achar chagach tani. In the Mishnah it says, after that point in time. So achikama, this is what it means. V'zehu achar kach, shnechlegu Rabbi Akiva v'chachamim. So we go back to the Mishnah. The way you're going to read the Mishnah is, what is considered to be achar zman in the Mishnah? That's what we brought from the bright over here in Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok. Enough time for her to pull the eight out from under the pillow and the matches and check herself. What is the after that? Achar kach. That Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim argue about what's the status of the Bo'el over here. That Machloket revolves around the time period given in the Mishnah. Where the Achar Zman that's mentioned in our Mishnah is really Achar Achar Zman. And that Achar Kach is the Machloket Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim. It's a very, very stretched reading of the Mishnah. A very difficult reading of the Mishnah. Right, so the Mishnah is Ujom, immediately. Immediately she checks it, she had it right there, she does a quick swipe afterwards, and there's damim on there. There's no way that she was pirsa nid afterwards. It had to be that the damim was there at the time of the bi'ah. Over there, it's mayin and korban. Because we know that it's bal nida. The second stage, according to Rav Chisda, it's a case where the cloth is under a mattress or a pillow, she pulls it out and does a check right on the bed. She doesn't descend from the bed. That'll be considered achar zman. Over there, according to the Braita, you'll bring an asham talaway. According to our Mishnah, you'll be patur mi karban. And your tmeya misafek. She's the tmeya misafek because there's a possibility she was pirsa nida afterwards, a possibility that she was not pirsa nida while they were boel. So you have a safek tuma and a question about the korban of asham talaway. Then there's a third stage. The third stage is where she descends from the bed and does a check on the floor outside, away from the bed. That third stage is the machloket Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim in our Mishnah. There she's been tamam eight late. She's clearly not tamay tumat nida. It's all a tumav safek. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says that she's metamed bola. That even eight late has an impact in terms of bola. Alright, so that's the three stages that we have according to Rav Chisda. Rav Ashi solves the problem and says, they're both the same duration. The amount of time it takes for her to descend from the bed and check herself is the equivalent of the amount of time it takes for her to grab the cloth from under a pillow or a mattress and check herself. In the one instance, the cloth is in her hand. The cloth's already in her hand, so she descends from the bed and does the check. So the delay is the descent from the bed. The other instance, she remains on the bed. What's the delay? She has to get the cloth. It's under the mattress or under the pillow. So both of them have a delay. The delay is a different one. In one case, she doesn't have the cloth. She has to get the cloth. The other scenario, she has the cloth, but she descends from the bed. They're both the same duration, and they're both describing a charzman. Eid biyada. If she has the cloth in her hand, kadesh duray min amitavet, the achet bina. Then the amount of time to consider a charzman is if she descends from the bed and checks herself. Ain eid biyada. If she doesn't have the cloth in her hand, kadesh toshit yada, the takara karo, the takara kesev, itutol eid, vitidokbo. The amount of time to check in terms of checking herself on the bed because the delay was in getting the aid from under the pillow or under the mattress. So they're the same amount of time, achar zman. They're describing the same period of time. That period of time is mechayev them, either in Hashem Talui according to the Braita or no Korban according to our Mishnah. That same period of time will be tmeim misafek. After that point of time, no matter which check you use over here, after that time, you'll be tmei Tumat Safek, which means the eight la'eight, and you have Machloket Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, how that affects Bo'ala. But this is a much easier reading of the Mishnah, because it keeps the Mishnah's Lashon consistent the way that we read it until now, which is that Ujom means immediately, Achar Zman is described by that scenario of getting off the bed and checking, and Achar Kach means after that, that third period of time is after that check. And that matches with the Braita, because they're describing the same amount of time using different scenarios to give you the same duration. Okay, we'll stop over here.